This is the day you've been waiting for. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and you know just what you want to do.
All you want to do is ride around Saturday.
I've got something very profound I want to say to get us started today, and here it is. Are you ready? Men and women are different. Hi, everybody. Rick Lamb here for The Horse Show. Didn't know it would be quite so heavy first thing off today, did you? Well, and I don't mean to joke about this because it's absolutely true, and it's something we often lose sight of. My guest today is Karen Scholl, who specializes in horsemanship for women. Not to the exclusion of men, it's just that her message is really designed to reach women and speak a language they understand, talk about experiences that they're familiar with. Now, Karen is part of a relatively small but growing group of clinicians in the horse industry who are female. Up to the last few years, it's been almost entirely men that have dominated this industry, and although their teaching is valid and it's very valuable and a lot of women have benefited from it, they could not, being men, know what it's like to be in a woman's skin and the feelings that you have, the instincts that you have as a female, especially where it relates to horses. So Karen has devised her message for this, and she does a great job. And the irony of it is, or the good thing about it, I guess, is that there's so much substance to this. Guys, there's a lot for us as well. Karen is very experienced, very bright, highly educated. And I learn something from her every single time I talk to her. She's one of our best friends. We see her often at horse events and quite often around Phoenix here where we live. She's helped us, both Diana and me, with our own horses. So we know her very well, and you are going to meet her in just a few moments. Karen Scholl is my guest today. Quick look at the calendar. I have but one event left this year. It is the Arizona Horse Festival in Buckeye, Arizona. That is November 9th through 11th. I will be doing lectures, doing my radio show live, and the Blenders will be playing a couple times there. So we have a number of events scheduled for next year. They're all on my website, thehorseshow.com. I'm Rick Lamb. This is The Horse Show, and we'll be back. Stay with us.
Every month, there's hands-on advice from the pros in Horse and Rider, the how-to magazine for Western riding. Call now and get 2 years for the price of one, just $24. 1-800-829-3340.
In November's Horse and Rider, get some food for thought on the slaughter debate. Find out the best bit for your horse's early training and learn 20 tips for riding better that really work. Get Horse and Rider at Purina Gold Dealers or subscribe by calling 1-800-829-3340. Incredible! That's how they're describing the horse trailer choices with Featherlite's new Perfect Fit system. The Perfect Fit is an exciting new way to customize your trailer around your life and your horses without a custom price. To discover the trailer fit for you, see your Featherlite dealer, and they'll show you how a simple step-by-step process will match you to the perfect trailer. That's right, your Featherlite dealer is now a great matchmaker. While you're there, ask about Featherlite's stylish new wraparound lights that give your trailer more visibility when traveling down the road. And remember, Featherlite's trailers are dramatically redesigned with sleek new wave side panels. These new Featherlite standard features add style and safety to your life away from home when traveling with your horses. See your Featherlite dealer today to learn more about the Featherlite Perfect Fit. Or call 800-800-1230 for more information or your nearest dealer. Tell them Rick Lamb sent you. Featherlite Trailers. Your life, your trailer, your way.
If you're a horse lover, then listen closely, because one of the biggest events of the year is coming to a location not far from where you live. It's the all-new Purina Mills Horse Health Fair. The Purina Mills Horse Health Fair gives you a chance to meet some of the country's foremost equine experts and hear about how best to keep your horses happy and healthy. Plus, there'll be fun, games, giveaways, and a whole lot more. There's no better place to get tips on everything horse. Chances are you'll probably even get answers to questions you didn't even know to ask. But the best thing about the fair is the atmosphere. It's all about fun, and you'll get to meet horse lovers just like you. So don't miss the fair, the Purina Mills Horse Health Fair, hosted by your local Purina Mills dealer.
For the fair nearest you, visit PurinaMills.com. That's PurinaMills.com. The Purina Mills Horse Health Fair. Horses make better people. We make better horses.
Whether it's stunts for movie cameras or Roman riding through fire for arena crowds, equine extremist Tommy Turvey knows how to make a scene with his horses.
Extreme riding is all about visual impact, so Poker Joe, Ace, and Joker have to look their best. That's why I depend on wall clippers.
Tommy prefers the wall Arco cordless. It gives him power, precision, and convenience in one quality clipper. See the full line of wall clippers at your local tack store or online at valleyvet.com. Wall clippers, the choice of extreme and not so extreme riders everywhere.
And now, back to the Horse Show with Rick Lamb.
Welcome back, everybody. Coming to you from the Rocky Mountain Horse Expo in sunny Denver, Colorado. Unseasonably warm and beautiful here. And it is my pleasure to welcome once again to the Horse Show, Karen Scholl. Karen, welcome.
Thank you, Rick.
Okay, you are busy out there creating quite a name for yourself. And the message that you are talking about is really tailored to women these days. First of all, address that for me. Why women?
Well, I've been studying horsemanship, psychology-based training, for over 20 years. So I've been studying from wonderful clinicians and excellent teachers, but the process that women go through when they're in the learning stage of horses is unique. It's very different from men. Men tend to step into a learning process physically doing the activity, and they learn while they're doing it. Women don't have the physiology that men do, and so we tend to want more education, more information. You know, honey, he's all right, just get on. You know, every woman has heard that. And a man can get onto that horse, and if they get into a situation, they have the physical strength to either get out of the situation, or if they do take a hit, they're going to respond to it differently than a woman's physiology would.
Men don't really want to talk about it all that much, right? Ladies like to talk. I mean, that's one of the things that's different.
Yeah, and there's no criticism between the genders. It's simply a recognition of how we're unique, that we're different, and why we're different. And I teach people, share with them my perspective of valuing those differences.
Why do you think women love horses as much as they do? Because, I mean, guys can love horses, but I don't think it's the same passionate love that women typically have.
Right. Well, I think that men really enjoy activity, physical activity especially. When they have a horse, there's kind of a goal in mind or a job in mind. And the relationship is there in the activity. It's like guys don't call each other, you know, Bob, why haven't you called me lately? You know, but they see Bob, you know, once a year when they go golfing. And everything's great. Where women have more relationship-based communication. So they may go out there and not have anything in mind at all with their horse and just sit with them for hours and just, you know, have that special bond.
You know what? I think that is so important, whether you're a male or female, to do that. In fact, that's one of the things I recommend. And it comes naturally, I think, to women, but I think guys need to take the time to do that. Just spend time in the presence of your horse, not asking anything.
Right. I call that non-demand time.
Yeah, just basically kind of trying to soak up what that animal is all about. And and that will, I think, help a lot in helping people understand the psychology of the horse, especially if you can see them interacting with other horses. Then you start getting that sense of how they communicate.
Right. And most of the time, horses really just like to hang out with other horses. And then the interaction is usually pinning the ears or driving the other horse away, things like that. They don't just go along, two horses meet, and they go, oh, you're a horse, here I'm a, let's just frolic off into the pasture. It drives us crazy, because when we turn a horse out with a strange horse, you know they're going to sniff and say, okay, you're a horse, I'm a horse, then they're going to go, ew! You know, and we wish they wouldn't do that. And so we tend to separate horses and take what's natural to them of being bonded together. I find this really interesting, even on the trail. You know, women by nature travel in pairs or more. We even go to the bathroom at the restaurant together. But when we go on a trail ride, we get frustrated because the other horses went away and my horse is fretting. So,
well, you should understand that, I guess, more than even guys should understand.
Well, we should, but it gets scary. And that's where our frustration comes in.
Why do horses need and want leadership?
Well, it's really based on survival. A horse is a prey animal species, and they're attracted towards leadership. So the fascination of horses to me is horse A bites horse B. Whose fault is it? Everybody says, well, horse A bit him. Well, it's horse B because they were there when the teeth got there. But the amazing thing to me is the attraction. When horse A walks away, horse B follows and says, I love you. Oh my gosh, did you seriously bit me right here? I love you. Can I groom you? And they have a natural attraction to that. And that's when you can step into the leadership role with a horse. You know, I give them what's called, I call it just a little mama's bite. If you watch a mare that's just foaled, I ask people, what does she do? She licks them first, and then what does she do? And everybody says, oh, they nudge the foal. They nudge it. They don't nudge them. They nip them. They start nipping, and they nip until the foal starts to move. And the moment the foal starts to move in the direction that the mare's looking for, she stops nipping. And then she starts nipping again to get that. And everybody, if you've seen it live, you'll see this communication.
And I suppose if that's nature's way of getting the horse, the baby, to become active and get up and start doing the things that it needs to
do.
And I would suspect in that circumstance, if the baby did not respond to a little loving bite, mm-hmm. a little nibble,
yeah.
the mare would probably raise the level of that
exactly.
pressure a bit.
Exactly, because she needs the foal to get up. She needs the foal to nurse. She needs the foal to move. She needs that. So she's not doing it to the foal. You know, when you watch it, you think, oh, that mare bit that foal. And you think, oh, doesn't she love him? Well, she loves him so much that she's willing to do what she needs to do to help that foal survive.
It's a little bit of direction for mama.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And every human mother does that. You know, little Johnny steps off the curb. Every toddler does it. And you don't go, oh, sweetie, don't do that, honey. You'd go right brain. You grab that kid by the scruff of the neck and you're both, you know, get back up here. So that child will not step off the curb again. You're shaping the behavior all the time.
How do you make the distinction between leadership and dominance in horses?
Mm.
Dominance is one of those words that kind of gets some people upset because it sounds like it has anger or it has
right.
some other ulterior motive involved. Leadership is one of those words that everybody recognizes. What's the difference or appreciates? What's the difference between those two?
Well, I think the difference between those is that dominance doesn't always solicit respect. It just doesn't. And women kind of are in this role. We've had relationships where we've had a dominant figure in our life. And it does work. It does cause behavior to change. But at the most you can get with that approach is resentful compliance. And you see it in humans and horses. The people are doing it, but they haven't bought into it. To me, leadership is earned. And you earn it by having confidence, by being skilled, by having good intentions. I call it loving leadership. So dominance is asking for submission, and that doesn't feel good to anybody, where leadership is inviting surrender.
Well, that's a great way to say that. Isn't that part of leadership just a little bit? It's just that it's not sufficient to define leadership?
Well, I think it's an element of it, but the intent, to me, the feeling that is associated when you say the word dominance, it doesn't fit into what a true leader. When you know great leaders, and the great leaders aren't necessarily dominant. They're very they're excellent communicators. That's mm-hmm. a very common thing. You may agree or not with what they're communicating, but they're great communicators and they're effective at causing change in people's minds. Tom Sawyer's the best example. He did not dominate the other kids to paint the fence. He had great leadership, and he caused them to want to paint the fence.
Right.
And no, he didn't win, and they didn't lose. They won. Do you
see? Yeah,
that's the reverse psychology.
Well, it's kind of like making your idea become
their
the
idea.
Other
Absolutely.
Being's idea.
My guest is Karen Scholl. We're coming to you from the Rocky Mountain Horse Expo in Denver, Colorado. This is The Horse Show Live, brought to you by Daily 72. I'm Rick Lamb, and we'll be back. Stay with us. Incredible! That's how they're describing the horse trailer choices with Featherlite's new Perfect Fit system. The Perfect Fit is an exciting new way to customize your trailer around your life and your horses without a custom price. To discover the trailer fit for you, see your Featherlite dealer, and they'll show you how a simple step-by-step process will match you to the perfect trailer. That's right, your Featherlite dealer is now a great matchmaker. While you're there, ask about Featherlite's stylish new wraparound lights that give your trailer more visibility when traveling down the road. And remember, Featherlite's trailers are dramatically redesigned with sleek new wave side panels. These new Featherlite standard features add style and safety to your life away from home when traveling with your horses. See your Featherlite dealer today to learn more about the Featherlite Perfect Fit, or call 800-800-1230 for more information or your nearest dealer. Tell them Rick Lamb sent you. Featherlight Trailers. Your life, your trailer, your way.
Folks, I try to make horse keeping simple, and here's one way I do it. For deworming my horses, I use Ivercare. The active ingredient in Ivercare is ivermectin, which kills 35 stages of worms and bots combined. Ivercare is easy to find, it's easy to use, it has a very cool syringe, and frankly, it's easy on my mind because it's broad-spectrum parasite control. If you want to read up on Ivercare, go to ivercare.com. I use and recommend Ivercare. I'm Rick Lamb, and I approve this message.
You know, a lot of people think that if you have horses, you have to put up with flies, or you have to install big spray systems, or deal with stinky traps or messy tapes. Not true. You can use Spalding Fly Predators, tiny, safe, easy-to-use, and inexpensive beneficial insects that kill flies before they emerge and become a problem. Do like I did and find out more about Spalding Fly Predators. Visit flypredators.net or call 1-888-282-7262. That's 1-888-282-7262.
Hi, this is Michael Martin Murphy, and you're listening to The Horse Show with Rick Lamb.
Thank you, Mr. Murphy. We are back, everybody, at the Rocky Mountain Horse Expo in Denver, Colorado. This is The Horse Show Live, brought to you by Daily 72. My guest is Karen Scholl, whose stock in trade is horsemanship for women. Now,
why do we get frustrated in working with horses?
The thing that I focus on are a lot of parallels between horse relations and human relations. When we get frustrated, you know, we came into the show last night, we had lots of things to do, you think you have plenty of time, and all of a sudden, you know, it's horses. And they put you behind schedule and you're up at 1 a.m, and, you know, and you're frustrated, but you're frustrated because you didn't have the preparation in advance. You didn't do some of the things, you know,
it was
your own fault. So when we get frustrated with horses or frustrated in a relationship, oftentimes it's kind of after the fact and you're on kind of this downward spiral and you're frustrated really mostly with yourself. So one of the questions I ask audiences is who has children? Now, have you taken parenting classes? Did you take parenting classes when you, do you wish your parents had taken parenting classes? See, everybody goes, yeah. See, but when do we usually take parenting classes?
Kind of when something's going wrong.
When we've got a problem.
Yeah.
Usually people come to a horsemanship clinic or seek education about horses when something's going wrong. So it's after the fact and you have to fix something. Wouldn't it be great if horses and kids came with instructions? You know, but they don't. Now, if we had great examples, you know, in a generation or two ago, we had a purpose, didn't we? Kids did chores. Horses had a job. See, and I tell women in my clinic, what if that horse you have right there was the only horse you had to hook up to a buckboard and get to town and feed your family? You would figure it out, and the horse would be okay with it, wouldn't they? See, but what we tend to do when we get a little bit scared is we go into an avoidance pattern, and we go, you know what, I really didn't want to go in that trailer today either. I don't like those people anyway. Let's just go back in the house, and, you know, we tend to go into avoidance. So what I want to do is just offer those skills. Leadership is a skill. It's a learnable skill, just like anything. You know, Rick has given me guitar lessons, see? But that guitar, because of the time I put into it, still doesn't know much more than the last time I saw you. We need to travel more together.
That's right. But, so your guitar needs to hang out with my guitar.
Yeah, see? And I can't send my guitar to Rick. I wish I could, you know, and he could train it. Because when it comes back, it's in my hands again. And that's what happens with horses.
What do most women really want out of this whole big deal with horses, in your experience?
In my opinion, I think that women want to walk out and that horse recognize them and say, wow, baby, what are we going to do today? You are my woman. You know, and that is a great feeling, isn't it? Rather than just scanning you for treats, you know, they walk out, no treats, you're out of here. See, it's not that. It's the relationship that you build. And that's the wonderful thing. As bonded as horses get to other horses, they will bond that strongly to a human. They absolutely will. Full imprinting is a tremendous example of that.
Yep. How does horsemanship and working with horses kind of compare to dancing? This is one of the metaphors that you've used before. I think it's so good.
Yeah. You know, dancing is a communication of feel. Every woman remembers the best dance partner you ever had. Yeah. You remember that. And it's the leadership. It's not the dead fish handshake. It's not wimpy. It's not the same thing. You know, you can get pretty bored halfway through a song, can't you? It's like, okay, we're going to two-step in a circle, and that's as far as we're going, see? But if that person has feel, it doesn't matter what your skill level is, you will be able to turn loose to that person's feel. Is that right? Okay? So our ability to dance is in direct proportion to that person's ability to communicate with feel. So that's why I can take a horse and people go, well, wow, my horse doesn't do that with you, but I can teach you to have that communication of feel. And it's release, it's not wimpy, but it's not harsh, and it's not abrupt. So I think that dancing is probably the most parallel experience that humans know of. And it's not, I see the thing, you know, when people first come to the clinic, they're clutching onto everything, and I get them to let go. And then I spend the rest of our lives getting them to pick up again. You know, pick up and have that feel. That horse enjoys that, but not if it's gripping and out of fear and things like that. So I try to teach people to turn loose to the horse first so that the horse can turn loose to you when you offer that feel.
Kind of goes back to what one of our mentors, all of us, I suppose, Ray Hunt once said about, you know, riding with life in your body.
Right, right.
And I think that is not only in the saddle, but have life in your relationship with your horse.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has kind of a comfort level, you know, where they come into this with you or with me or with anybody. How do you get them to kind of expand and go outside of this comfort level that they're at? Because that's necessary for growth.
Right, right. Well, you know, the human mind is a fascinating thing. And what I find most interesting is we can only hold one thought in our mind at a time. So if people are focusing on their fear, guess what they get more of? You know, it just fuels the fear. So what I consider, to me, fear is an absence of knowledge. And experience is under that category of knowledge. So when you gain more knowledge, you know, everybody, you were afraid to go to kindergarten, you know, crying and screaming and everything, but, you know, what's the big deal? But it was something you weren't familiar with. So fear is a natural response to things we don't know. And if we move through it and we gain more knowledge, then all of a sudden the fear doesn't have a place to live anymore. Now, courage to me is when something becomes more important to you than your fear. So everybody says, oh, somebody who doesn't swim would definitely jump in and save their child. If the child, I didn't even think about it. So what I do with people with horses, I give people tasks. And I give people ropes and I give people sticks. And I've started polo cross. I have 18 polo cross rackets now that I carry. And at the clinics, in the advancing clinics, guess what happens? Everybody forgets all this stuff going on with their horse. And all of a sudden, they and their horse have a job and a focus and a feel. And all of a sudden, everything happens naturally, and people that were having a little bit of problem with their horse, sitting at their horse going, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? And the horse is going, what's wrong with you? See, now you have a job, and all of a sudden, that same human and horse, we get done, and they're sitting there both of them have a big old smile on their face.
You know, one of the first shows we did on our TV show had to do with learning how to play horse soccer, and it's exactly the thing you're talking about, which is why this sport is one of the fastest growing of all sports, because anybody can play it. On any horse, at any level of skill, in any kind of a facility. It can be an open field or it can be an arena or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the key advantage of that, aside from just having fun, is that it takes your mind completely off the mechanics of riding.
Absolutely.
It takes your mind completely off the separation between you and the horse.
Right.
And it gets you kind of focused as a team on doing purposeful activity, which I think is exactly what you're talking about.
Exactly.
You know, our minds are so complex and so fertile that if we don't give them something to do, you know, they start finding things to worry about. Same thing happens with a horse.
Yeah.
Still to come, what Karen offers those of us who have a fear of cantering. Very common. I'm Rick Land. This is The Horse Show Live, brought to you by Daily 72 from the Rocky Mountain Horse Expo in Denver. Stay with us.
He helped you through your awkward years. He was always there no matter what. All those afternoons you ran home from school and straight to the barn. He listened to every word and caught every tear. From bumps and bruises to braces and broken hearts, he could make anything better. And today, he still can. That's why you give him special care, extra love and attention. You give him feed that's easier to chew and digest. You give him the original complete feed to help older horses live even longer. You give him Purina Mills Equine Senior, because that old horse understands you like no one else ever has, and like no one else ever will.
Equine Senior from Purina Mills. Horses make better people. We make better horses. For the dealer nearest you, look online at horse.purinamills.com. Equine Senior is a registered trademark of Purina Mills, LLC.
Have you had it with flies? Then try something that really works. Biological fly control with Spalding Fly Predators. Fly predators are tiny beneficial insects that eliminate the next generation of flies without bothering people or animals. Most horse owners who try Spalding Fly Predators use them again year after year. So do yourself a favor and check them out. Visit flypredators.net or call 1-888-282-7262. That's 1-888-282-7262. Tell them Rick Lamb sent you.
If you're looking for a horse, livestock, recreational, or any kind of trainer, there's just one great brand, Featherlight. Hi, I'm Tanya Tucker. I'm a loyal Featherlight owner myself, and I want to invite you into the Featherlight family. Featherlight builds great trainers. They're tough, good-looking, and easy towing. The only thing that makes them pull any better is a Tanya Tucker CD playing as you move down the road. Hey, get on down to your Featherlight dealer today. Featherlight, safe, secure, smart.
If you're a horse owner, you should know that West Nile virus remains a deadly threat for virtually every horse in the U.S. Protect your champion with West Nile Innovator, the original West Nile virus vaccine. No West Nile vaccine has been proven more effective or protected more horses with more than 16 million doses safely administered coast to coast. Ask your veterinarian for West Nile Innovator today or visit equinewestnile.com from Fort Dodge Animal Health.
Folks, I try to make horsekeeping simple, and here's one way I do it. For deworming my horses, I use Ivercare. The active ingredient in Ivercare is ivermectin, which kills 35 stages of worms and bots combined. Ivercare is easy to find, it's easy to use, it has a very cool syringe, and frankly, it's easy on my mind because it's broad-spectrum parasite control. If you want to read up on Ivercare, go to ivercare.com. I use and recommend Ivercare. I'm Rick Lamb, and I approve this message.
Thank you for listening to The Horse Show with Rick Lamb. If you have a question, request, or comment, we want to hear from you. Our fax number is area code 602-279-0980. Or if you would like to email us, the address is lambemail@aol.com. Now, back to Rick.
Thank you, Woodman. We are back, everybody, with Karen Scholl at the Rocky Mountain Horse Expo in Denver, courtesy of Daily 72.
How do you give people confidence about cantering that they can maintain control of the horse?
Yeah. Well, first I teach them how to stop. It's like your very first snow ski lesson. They teach you how to stop. My first lesson wasn't like that. My friend said, yeah, go, and they forgot that part. So luckily I live. But I teach people how to stop with confidence. And then once they know how to stop that thing, then they start getting more confident. But I'll tell you, the pull across is fabulous. All of a sudden, people who would never canter their horse are cantering, and they don't know it. I can't tell you how many times I've said, you know, Carol, do you realize you're cantering? And she goes, no. You know, and next thing you know, it's just not a big deal. Because it's really not a big deal for the horse. It's a little transition thing between trot and canter. It's a pretty common thing. But it's usually because the human's going, giddy up a little bit. See, we put the brakes on with a... Yeah. You know, with the go button. And so they get a little boggy sometimes. But if I can give them a purpose, all of a sudden that human's going, no, I'm getting into that ball first. And they get in these little games, and the horse gets the game, and all of a sudden they're cantering and they don't even know it.
Have you found that some horses, while they will trot willingly, seem to have a little bit more attitude about moving into a canter or a lope? And that's some of what happens there is somebody asked their horse for a lope, and they kind of kicked out a little bit, and it scared them, and they thought, the horse doesn't want a lope. I don't want to ask him to do that.
Yeah, you know, horses are great people trainers. It doesn't take much for the horse to get a pattern of behavior. And, you know, we talk kind of
in
things
that
it's reinforced. It's absolutely reinforced. You can reinforce any behavior. I've seen very fearful horses that when I started helping the person with it, I'd look at it and go, this horse is not afraid. And they go, what are you talking about? Look at him. And he's like, you know, shaking. And I go, this is reinforced behavior. Because every time the horse was afraid, the person backed off and said, easy, big fella. And the horse goes, I guess that works good. Children, it's the same thing. The child falls to the ground, skins their knee, and they go, ah! And who do they look at? Mom. And if mom goes, oh, Johnny, that puppy pushed you over.
Let's go get some ice cream.
You can instill a fear of dogs. Is that true? You know, kids don't have far to fall. We don't need to freak out about it. But if you just go, oh, did you break the sidewalk? Did you put a crack in the sidewalk? And you just go on. So we're shaping that behavior all the time. What we don't recognize is it's the release that teaches. So when a horse demonstrates a behavior like getting a little boggy or kicking up or something like that, and we back off and we go, oh, girl. I taught my horse very effectively. She ran away with me on a regular basis. I taught her that. Because when she ran away, what did I do?
You stopped her.
Whoa! I bend her to a stop. And she goes, man, that works good. Do you see? And it took me a long time to realize what I needed to do was say, you want to go? Me too. Now, I lived through that too, but I figured if I could survive snow skiing, I could survive that. So I said, me too. Where's she going to go? We're in an arena. You know, where is she really going to go? And pretty soon we were going and she was going and she was going and she goes, aren't you going to stop me? And I said, no, not this time, hun. And she's like, but this is hard. See, I turned her dream into a nightmare. But we don't ever let the horse go there. So backed off.
It does take a certain amount of confidence that you can ride through something like that. So you do have
to have some. I hung on to everything I could.
Yeah, and that I think is something important. I think a lot of people see great riders, and they see that they sit there in the saddle, and, you know, they may be riding with one hand if they're a reining horse rider or something like that. And, you know, they never grab onto the saddle, or they never grab onto the horn to just kind of steady themselves. And so we think that, we can't do that. Gee, that must not be kosher. So I would suggest that anybody hold on any way they can, you know. When I was going through some of the same stuff that Karen was talking about, I'd hold on to the back of the saddle. I'd pull my butt down into the saddle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, no matter where my horse went, I was still there. I never came out of the saddle.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're so busy trying to pull on the reins sometimes with both hands, because we think that's going to help.
Right.
That we're not using our hands to hold us in the saddle and ride out something like that. So, so often this all comes down to, I think, our own fears. And, you know, I think knowledge is probably the first step in alleviating a lot of these fears. I want to ask you one last thing before we open it up to questions from the audience here. You have gone with a logo or a symbol or a brand, if you will, that is a throbbing heart. What's up with that? What's that all about?
Well, it's a heart within two parentheses. And a couple summers ago, I was at a ranch in New Mexico, and I was starting a group of colts. And, you know, you wake up every day, and you think the end of the day is going to look pretty much the same, just the sun going the other direction. And you know what? It's a heartbeat, because life begins in a heartbeat, and it ends in one heartbeat. And it changes in between from one heartbeat to the next. So what it does is it always reminds me not to take these moments for granted, because you just don't know how the end of this day is going to go. And so that helps me maintain my awareness and my mindfulness, you know, to stay in the present.
I'll add something to that, because this is, you know, it's so easy to get discouraged in anything that you do. And Karen knows this well in trying to establish a career. I know it in trying to get my radio and TV shows off the ground and so forth. It's so easy to become discouraged, but things can change literally in a heartbeat for the better.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's a way of kind of keeping hope alive, I think, in you to keep moving forward. Our little saying is, what a difference a day makes, because, you know, you're out. That's an old song, but, you know, you're so discouraged one moment, and then something happens that day you could never have imagined would happen, and it completely turns things around. It can happen in a heartbeat, too.
Absolutely.
I want to get you guys' thoughts. So what we're going to do here is I'm going to come around to you. I have a little wireless microphone here, so I'm mobile. This is your chance to be part of our show. How you doing, Mark? I'm not going to bother you. You've got all the answers. I know that. Anybody here want to have a comment or a question for Karen, or just something to add to our discussion? Question and comment? Yes, ma'am.
We have a young horse, and she's coming three.
She's three.
And last year, when we go into a canter, she would start to wring her neck. So I just made her go faster or slowed her down, you know.
Right.
She doesn't want to run off. She's kind of lazy. But she starts to wring her neck. So what should I do? Should I push her on or stop her?
Well, when you showed me in the motion, you know, when she started slow, and she started to slow with that too, right? She started wringing her neck, and like she wants to buck. They get boggy, kind of put their head down. They go, don't you make me go any faster. First thing, rule out anything physical. you know, rule out, I like on horses to try different saddles. Some saddles feel more comfortable, just like our shoes. We have our favorite shoes. Because sometimes the transition from a trot to a canter can be a physical. They go, you know what, I'm comfortable enough at a trot, but the canter isn't. So rule that out first. Then, if it's not that, I'll tell you, I found a little strategy that works great, because I used to ride these boggy bucking horses, and you know, I was like, I don't like to ride that anymore. I was like, you know, I want my heart to keep beating, you know, because we don't hit the ground like we used to, you know. So I'll tell you what I like to do is I step down, I'll ride in a rope hackamore that has a Makati rein on it. I do it with the rope hackamore more than the bridle, because when you're putting pressure, when you're asking a horse to move on the ground from a bit, it's different. So I'll ride that horse with rope hackamore. I'll step down and I'll reach down and I'll ask that horse to go to leave in a circle. And I mean, yes, ma'am, I'm looking for a respectful attitude. Yes, ma'am, boy, ooh, man, you bit me that time. You're not going to. So when I get that on the ground, the horse is going, woo, man, and they get out in a circle and they go, you bet, doesn't have to be in a canter. When I feel the attitude change of, yes, ma'am, I would love to transition upwards for you, then I step up on the horse, I ask again. If they get boggy again, it's okay. I step down, do it again. So what happens is really fun. And I just fiddled around with this one time, and it just works great. Pretty soon that horse goes along, and it gets a little boggy, and I'll go, don't make me pull this car over. And all of a sudden that horse goes, you know, the canter's looking really good. So it's kind of that leadership position where you're asking for that respect, because you are in a vulnerable. It's vulnerable. If you're transitioning into a canter, it gets more lofty. Our seat tends to not be quite as secure in that transition. You know, and then just canter for a little bit and transition down. And just work on the transitions. Transitions are the best way to build your confidence with horses.
If your horse is cantering, and you're a little bit concerned about how it's going, there's nothing wrong with stopping the horse on your suggestion. I mean, right. As long as you're making the choice, yeah. As long as you're still remaining in control, you're building the relationship in the direction you want to go rather than the horse starting to take over. Because horses will, you know, they have, most horses, I don't think, have any problem with us being leader of the team. As long as they feel we're a competent leader, we're going to take care of them, and we've got an agenda, we know what we're doing.
Right.
What happens a lot of times is they're testing us, saying, are you really the leader today that you were yesterday?
Sure.
Well, if you are, okay, then you can continue doing it. If not, then I guess I better take over leadership of this team.
Right.
So often that's what's happening. So there's nothing wrong with stopping a horse from cantering if it's your choice.
My guest is Karen Scholl. We're talking about horsemanship for women at the Rocky Mountain Horse Expo in Denver. Now, when we get back, a ticklish subject, when it may be time to change your riding friends. I'm Rick Lamb. Stay with us.
The Horse Show with Rick Lamb is a copyrighted production of Lamb Chop Studios, Phoenix, Arizona. Unauthorized use is strictly prohibited.
Flies can make horses and their owners miserable. That's why for 30 years, Spalding Labs has offered an effective pesticide-free solution. Fly predators. These tiny beneficial insects eliminate the next generation of flies without bothering people or animals. Most horse owners who try Spalding fly predators use them again year after year. So do yourself a favor and check them out. Visit flypredators.net or call 1-888-282-7262. That's 1-888-282-7262.
If you're a horse owner, you should know that West Nile virus remains a deadly threat for virtually every horse in the U.S. Protect your champion with West Nile Innovator, the original West Nile virus vaccine. No West Nile vaccine has been proven more effective or protected more horses with more than 16 million doses safely administered coast to coast. Ask your veterinarian for West Nile Innovator today or visit equinewestnile.com from Fort Dodge Animal Health.
Incredible! That's how they're describing the horse trailer choices with Featherlite's new Perfect Fit system. The Perfect Fit is an exciting new way to customize your trailer around your life and your horses without a custom price. To discover the trailer fit for you, see your Featherlite dealer, and they'll show you how a simple step-by-step process will match you to the perfect trailer. That's right, your Featherlite dealer is now a great matchmaker. While you're there, ask about Featherlite's stylish new wraparound lights that give your trailer more visibility when traveling down the road. And remember, Featherlite's trailers are dramatically redesigned with sleek new wave side panels. These new Featherlite standard features add style and safety to your life away from home when traveling with your horses. See your Featherlite dealer today to learn more about the Featherlite Perfect Fit. or call 800-800-1230 for more information or your nearest dealer. Tell them Rick Lamb sent you. Featherlite Trailers. Your life, your trailer, your way.
Folks, I try to make horse keeping simple, and here's one way I do it. For deworming my horses, I use Ivercare. The active ingredient in Ivercare is ivermectin, which kills 35 stages of worms and bots combined. Ivercare is easy to find, it's easy to use, it has a very cool syringe, and frankly, it's easy on my mind because it's broad-spectrum parasite control. If you want to read up on Ivercare, go to ivercare.com. I use and recommend Ivercare. I'm Rick Lamb, and I approve this message.
Whether it's stunts for movie cameras or Roman riding through fire for arena crowds, equine extremist Tommy Turvey knows how to make a scene with his horses.
Extreme riding is all about visual impact, so Poker Joe, Ace, and Joker have to look their best. That's why I depend on wall clippers.
Tommy prefers the wall Arco cordless. It gives him power, precision, and convenience in one quality clipper. See the full line of wall clippers at your local tack store or online at valleyvet.com. Wall clippers, the choice of extreme and not-so-extreme riders everywhere. Folks, you can now buy The Revolution in Horsemanship at ricklamb.com. It's just $24.95 plus shipping, and I'll be happy to personalize it for you. That's www.ricklamb.com.
The Horse Show with Rick Lamb is here every week at this time, so tell a friend.
You know that old word-of-mouth advertising, folks, it's the very best kind. We do appreciate it. From the Rocky Mountain Horse Expo in Denver, this is The Horse Show Live, brought to you by Daily 72. My guest is Karen Scholl, and we have a question right here. Yes, ma'am.
2 years ago, I was at a horse show, and my horse dumped me, reared up. Never had done that in all the time I owned her. Now she's healed. We found out she had a cracked shoulder. She's all healed, and I can't get the courage to get back up in that saddle. And she's a well-trained quarter horse.
Right. Well, let me ask you the first question. What do you want? What do you picture in your mind that you would like to have with her one day?
I'd like to get back riding with her.
Yeah, and where would you like to go?
Right now, just enjoy pleasure with her. Maybe end up back to horse shows again.
Back to horses. You'd like to enjoy her in horse shows and go through
that. She's won Grand Championship Halter. She's won Western Pleasure a few times. And I just, being older, a little nervous about, is she going to dump me again? Last time, I didn't get hurt. I only got bruised.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, she's a beautiful horse. She's well stallions, three in a row. She's 15 now, and she follows me on the ground, does whatever I want, but everybody says, you better not get on her. You better not get on her.
Yeah. What would it feel like to you to sit on her again? Just sit there. Don't have to go anything. Just
great.
They feel great. See, those questions right there, and this is part of the study of the human mind, right there, you made a decision. In the responses that you gave me, that's going to happen for you. Do you see? What your brain had been doing prior to this was picturing falling off again. And you can't get through that. You can't say, don't think about falling off. Don't think about falling off. You can't do it. But if you can hold that in your mind, even when you're just walking on the ground, you don't have to be on her. You don't have to go home and ride her. You may never ride. But if you can hold that in your mind, everything in your life, the teachers you'll seek out, the experiences that will present themselves to you will be in alignment with what you just told me right there. I know that one day you'll ride her again. You know, because you just told me that you would. Before that, when I talked to you earlier outside, you didn't say that. So that's a big piece of it, because it's about our psychology changing. And we have this association. It's like you could have your favorite restaurant and then have one really bad meal. And you're just sick. And then you just go, nobody can ever get you to go back to that restaurant again, can you? So one bad experience is actually much more powerful than all the other good experiences that you had. But if you can imagine going back, that's why they say under new ownership, under new management, we have a new chef, you know, try us again, you know. But if you can hold that thought, then everything that you will see will lend itself towards that. But if you focus on your fear, you've been stuck there for a while, haven't you? Yeah. Yeah, but you can picture that. And you know what I have people do in clinics? They come to a clinic and they have this exact same situation. It's very, very common. So you're in good company. And I'll go, you know what? Welcome to the clinic. You're going to ride from the ground. For years and years, I teach these ground things. They go, when are we going to ride? I go, well, you know what? You're riding right now. You're just not up on the horse's back. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things you and your horse are learning that you ought to keep your feet on terra firma, rather than be up on this moving creature. So you can train your skills of that feel and timing and all of those things before you ever get on the horse. So if you had that set of skills on the ground, you would just go, gosh, I could do this just from above. So those are the two DVDs that I pair together, Riding from the Ground and Riding from Above. But I make it very clear why those two interrelate.
You know, that is such a great point, the whole idea of sort of visualizing where you want to go, what you want to be, the person that you want to become, or the activity that you want to be engaged in, and holding that thought so firmly in your mind. We have the incredible ability to kind of live into certain images that we create for ourselves. I've seen it happen over and over again. Right. It's where you put your positive energy. Mm-hmm. If you focus that on something negative that's happened in the past, you're never going to move past it. So
we, and
I always tell people, you know, we have the power. We have choice. We have the power of free choice on what we think about. Mm-hmm. And you've got to become a little bit disciplined in what you think about.
Well, and nobody tells us that when we're kids.
Yeah.
We go, nobody tells you, you can control your thoughts. Really, our thoughts control us. And the thing that got me is I heard it said, fear owns me. Fear owns you. And I said, nothing owns me. And I was like, well, you know what? If the fear is influencing your life, then yeah, it is owning you. And that was kind of a thing that got me to kind of step up and say, you know what? I need to do something about this, and not in an aggressive way or anything. I just made a different decision. But that's the brilliant thing that you pointed out, Rick, is that you can control your thoughts, but you have to have a picture of it first. So I watched you when you were replying to me, and that's going to be true for you one day.
I have a comment about what she said. She said at first, she says, I would like to be out there and doing Western equitation and doing these things we used to do. And the next thing she said was, I just want to sit on him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for me, I see the big picture out there. Oh, I'd love to be, I want to be this massive, great trail rider. But I have to get past that first step of sitting on my horse first, which is often the biggest fear. It's that first step up onto the horse. I don't want to go from here. I have a tendency to want to go from here to there. Mm-hmm. And I forget all those in-between steps. And I don't want to put the effort in or the energy in sometimes to do the in-between steps. And that's where I've got to picture one step at a time.
Right.
Absolutely. That you're exactly right. One step at a time. And I like what John Lyon says about this. He's really big on making lesson plans, and this idea of actually planning out to the point of writing it out if you need to do that. Every little step from getting to this point to where you wanted to be. And if it seems like too big a jump to go from one step to the next, you just break it down into more steps. You know, if it comes down to literally take one step towards the stall, if that's what it comes down to, that's what you do, because you really are committed to getting where you want to go. I mean, you've got to love it. You've got to want it really badly. And if you do, there are these positive ways of getting from one point to the next. So I think a big part of it is making the commitment in your mind that this is really something that I want.
Mm-hmm.
And then going for it. Anybody else have any questions? Yes, ma'am.
You had said about when you're cantering in the arena and your horse wanted to go faster, you're like, yeah, let's go for it. But what about when you're on the trail and your horse wants to go, everybody else is cantering that you're riding with, they want to go faster and faster and faster.
Yeah.
And that's a volatile situation. You can't do a one rein stop. You can't do anything because you're on a trail this wide.
Right.
What do you suggest?
You know, that's one of those things where you have to adjust to the situation, and horses running with horses is the strongest, one of the strongest draw, because they're going into a flight mode, and there may not even be any danger, but they tend to get all moving as one unit. So I'll give you an example. I'd moved a lot of cattle on my horse, and one day we went up to bring in a group of colts, and my horse, I didn't have a lot of hours on him. But I thought I did. I thought, boy, he's pretty solid. You know, I mean, yeah, I could get around the ranch and do all kinds of things. Well, we went to move these colts, and the colts got going. And they got going more. And all of a sudden, he started, and all his instinct kicked in. And I'm going through a forest. I mean, the trees were becoming a blur. And I went, you know what? I think I'm going to just hang on to everything that I can. And I want, when this thing stops, I want a leg on each side and still sitting in this saddle. If I can stick with my saddle, I'll be okay. Now, there's some people that say, well, let me tell you how to fall off safely. I'll tell you what, I've known more people that got hurt thinking they needed to bail off a runaway horse. If you do that, you're for sure going to get hurt. Okay, not men so much as women, but you're for sure, if you can maybe hang on, the horse is already at top speed. You know, they're not going to go any faster. If you can just stay, if you can be there when it stops, see? And it's going to stop. The Atlantic's on one side, the Pacific's on the other. It'll stop somewhere. So the biggest thing is to prepare your horse in advance to that. Now my horse is solid, okay, so that I can go into a situation like that. I could move colts, you know, nowadays, but I couldn't at that time. But I didn't know that. See, every horse has a threshold. Now, you'll see my gray horse here, and he has a threshold in certain areas. He has negative associations to things. So I can stand on his back and crack two stock whips, but he has a negative association to applause because he was shown a little bit as a young horse, and he got banged on when he got scared when the applause and all this stuff. So it's going to be interesting in these demos, you know, when people applaud, you'll see that. But that's a threshold that he has. The conditions change. And what we try to do is try to not get into those conditions. And there's an element of that that's called wisdom. That's when you know, you get good judgment from surviving your bad judgment. So maybe you choose to ride with people that are going to recognize the influence of their horses on yours, ride at the pace that you're comfortable with. Or if you all say, we're going to canter, do we all agree? And one person says, no, I'm not confident. Then nobody, you know, everybody's supporting the needs of the horse. That's probably my best advice.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Sometimes you have to make adjustments in your circle of riding friends.
Yeah.
Because you guys kind of all have to be on the same page with this.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very difficult not to become preachy to other people who haven't really made the commitment to become horsemen and to think empathetically, think about the nature of the horse and all that they do. But sometimes you just have to quietly kind of reassociate with people that do if you want to raise your own level. So. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Karen Scholl.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, Rick.
All right, there you have it, folks. Karen's website is karenscholl.com, and I'm going to spell that for you, karenscholl.com. She's got some great videos, some great training tools that may be of value to you. And her clinics are absolutely awesome. In fact, at an event we just saw her at recently, Diana signed up for one of them. So ladies, this may be the answer to your prayers. If you're looking for courage, if you're looking for skill, if you're looking for somebody who just simply understands what's going through your head, Karen Scholl is the one, and I invite you to check her out, further KarenScholl.com. And by the way, she will be at an event upcoming for us, and that is the Arizona Horse Festival and Exposition in Buckeye, Arizona, November 9th through 11th. More information about that is available on my website, thehorseshow.com. Just click that calendar button and go down to where we have that event listed. You can click on that link and get all kinds of information. I'll be doing lectures, my radio show live, and my partner Jay and I will be playing some music as part of the Blenders. Just a fun little thing we do. Remember, we update our website every week, folks, so check it out, thehorseshow.com. Have fun, ride safely, and I'll see you next time. For The Horse Show, I'm Rick Lane.